you have to almost storyboard out your day in order to find out what part of your day you want to tell the story about. Because I think a lot of times people are like, oh, my life's not interesting. It's like, well, it's the not interesting part. I know, even we had this conversation, Dan. It was like, you have to know how to portray it. Like, that's what social media is. It's a total facade. It's learning how to storyboard out your life and showcasing the behind the scenes sort of grind, the entrepreneurial spirit.
Welcome to episode 60 of the Hollywood Hustle Podcast, where we bring the stories, struggles, and tips from social media strategists, podcasters, travelers, and more. And of course, how we all struggle to climb the ladder of success and survive not only the city of dreams, Los Angeles, but the rest of the world as well. Man, Michael gave me a run for my money last week, but I am back. I am Daniel Tuttle. I am your host. Still, I think, I hope. Huh? And I can't wait to share with you our inspirational, educational, and funnocational chat with the digital marketing strategist from the scheduling and posting social media application, Buffer, and the co-host of the weekly Buffer podcast, The Science of Social Media, Brian G. Peters. In this special episode, we talk about how to set up your brand and make sure you're doing what's best for you on social media, what it is to look like in Insta Live and how video is changing the platform. We also talk about what it's like to move from place to place and not really have a set office, but work from home. I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. We go into some great detail about social media and what it is to be on social media in the current climate. Now, make sure to stick around after the interview when I give you some updates on what's going on with me, Michael gives you some updates on what's going on with him, and we both share our hustle takeaways and also our wonderful Hollywood Hustle podcast statement to get you through the week. So please sit back, relax, turn off all your Instagram alerts, and listen to this great episode with Brian G. Peters. Let the hustle begin. We've done it, guys. We have moved towards the future. Today, we are interviewing someone sitting currently in a completely different time zone. Coming to us via Google Hangouts is the digital marketing strategist for the social media scheduling and posting app Buffer, and the co-host of their popular podcast, Science of Social Media. Working in the marketing field for 7 years, Brian has become a wealth of knowledge that he is always willing to share. He even has a class on the popular online course website, Skillshare.com. He can be seen giving talks at Marketing Profs and Social Media Marketing World. He also has recently started a newsletter called The Thinker Newsletter, where they explore topics to get you thinking. Some are about building good habits and some about productivity and others. Ladies and gents, please welcome our new friend, Brian G. Peters.
What an intro. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on, and thanks for previously looking at our social media and completely letting us know what garbage it was and how much we need to improve on it.
I'm pretty sure the exact words I used were, it could use some work, but it still wasn't garbage.
That's the nice guy way of saying, it's like saying, that's interesting.
It's like, you guys have profiles.
Yeah. You're on there.
Congratulations.
Yes.
You're doing stuff. So real quick, Brian, just kind of give us a background on where you're from, your family, where you grew up. Just kind of go into that for a second.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again for having me on the podcast. Big fans of what you all are doing. But like you said, my name is Brian Peters, and I am from Westlake Village, California.
Westlake Village.
Represent North Los Angeles.
Represent that Westlake Village life.
See, we're able to bring in the Hollywood hustle somehow.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm from a family of five. My mom and dad are both insurance brokers. And so sort of grew up around sales my entire life. And I went to school in Westlake, kind of grew up playing baseball, big fan of the Dodgers. Really, really can't stress Dodger fans enough. So all my LA Dodger fans out there. So grew up in a small family. Like I said, my parents sort of raise me with this mindset to work your ass off at all times.
Well, in sales and in marketing, you kind of have to have a certain personality for it. You have to kind of have an outgoing personality that's not afraid to talk to anybody. Do you feel that you got that from your parents, or is that something that you've cultivated on your own as you've grown up?
Yeah, I think a bit of it, you know, have to give some credit to my mom and dad. They're both very outgoing and great salespeople. And so, yeah, I think a bit of it comes from that. And I think a bit of it just kind of grows up in that environment, and it kind of happens naturally by the people you hang out with and the sort of the environment you put yourself in. But yeah, I went into sales after I graduated college and insurance and was pretty good at it. Obviously I'm in marketing now, so there's a reason I got out of sales, but I think that mindset to like not let what other people think of you definitely helps. So like, I think that personality trait is definitely why sales was pretty good to me for a while.
Now, when you were growing up, what were your passions as a kid? What were you into? What were your hobbies and your interests?
Yeah. So as a kid, like I said, sports for sure. But then a lot of times it had to do with, I was really big into movies and into actors for some reason. I just had like this, I mean, Will Smith is still one of my favorite actors of all time. I even wrote a 10-page paper about him in college. But wow.
What was this 10-page paper about?
Why Miami is so welcoming.
I'm gonna drop my thesis on you right now. Yes. Okay.
We only have an hour,
Will Smith is one of the best. Yeah. So I argue that Will Smith is one of the greatest of all time in the, I guess you would call, showbiz industry, because he's one of the few people that has successfully gone from TV actor to rapper to movie star. And there's not a lot of people that can say that.
Actually, that is a really, really good point. And he's been able to do it seamlessly.
Seamlessly.
Yes. And, you know, without like, and he can even go from comedy to action to drama. No problem. Like there was that period where he was doing The Pursuit of Happiness and then 7 Pounds. And then, you know, next thing you know, he's doing another action film and he can just do it.
So When did the interest in digital, you know, marketing or marketing in general kind of come for you?
You know, I didn't even think about marketing as a job until my wife, Caitlin, introduced me to the fact. So when I was working in sales after college, I was pretty good at an insurance salesman, and it wasn't until Caitlin said, "Hey, like, do you actually like doing sales?" And I was like, "I mean, it makes me money." And so she actually introduced me to a professor over at the college that I went to in San Luis Obispo, California, Cal Poly. And she said, "Well, you know, there's an entry level position at the university there. Would you like to basically take over as social media manager?" And I was like, "Okay, yeah, as long as it gets me out of sales, I'm into it." And naturally, that was in 2012. Since then, obviously, I haven't looked back, but I think that at first I didn't even think about marketing or sort of social media as a career path, and it kind of just fell on my lap. And now I'm starting to realize all of the awesome things that come with the career.
So that was pretty much like Facebook and Twitter at that time, right? Those were like the two main ones during that time.
I think Snapchat was maybe a couple years away still.
Yeah. So thinking back on it, 2012, I think, was the first year that Snapchat was like, "Are you going to send me like a naked picture?" Like, so 2012
that's
was
when it was
naked
for dirty.
Snapchat.
That's when it was like just for like to private picture type Snapchat. Yeah.
Right. It wasn't until 2014 that Snapchat was like, "Oh, maybe businesses should be on Snapchat." But yeah, so I think when I started social media in 2012, 13, it was very much Facebook. It was Twitter. LinkedIn was very still personal, not business related really at all. And then Instagram was just bursting onto the scene as well.
So what other, you know, you had this this entry level job running someone's social media account. What other jobs did you have before you kind of arrived at Buffer, or was it kind of you did that and then got the job at Buffer?
Yeah. So good question. So it was pretty much sales and then Buffer. Or sorry, it went sales with the insurance company, marketing with the university, and then Buffer. But I think when I got introduced to marketing, I was like, "Oh my gosh, there's so much to learn. There's so much to do." And you can only branch out at your current position, you know, where you are, as much as they let you. So they were letting me do social media. They were letting me do a few things, but I was like, "Okay, I want to learn other things too." So I started teaching myself Photoshop. I started freelance writing for a bunch of different blogs for free. I started and I was like, "Give me everything you possibly can. And if the university that I was working at can't give it to me, then I'm going to freelance for free for other people just so I can learn the stuff."
Right. That's fantastic. Now, you've moved around quite a bit, it seems like. I know you live obviously up in
Westlake Village.
I was going to say Woodland Hills. Westlake Village. And then I know you lived in Canada or worked from Canada for a little bit. And now I know you're in Denver. Are those kind of the three main places you've been, or where else have you moved to?
Yeah, so I'm fortunate enough at Buffer to be able to, what the new hip term is, digital nomad. And so my wife and I over the past year and a half have been like digital nomading. Yeah.
I got my computer got a digital nomad. I can't do anything.
It's a serious disease though, because once you start, you can't stop. So we got married. My wife and I got married in San Luis Obispo, where we were living and working in 2016. And then we're like, you know, let's get out of here. Let's adventure, since we both have these remote careers. And so, yeah, we started in Vancouver, British Columbia, which is an incredible city. Highly recommended if you've never been. And then we moved from there to Chicago, and then Chicago to New York, New York to San Diego, San Diego to San Francisco area, and then San Francisco to Denver.
Wait. And so just so our listeners know, you were in San Luis Obispo in 2016, and then all of those cities between 2017 and now?
Yep, exactly. So I think six or seven different cities in a year and a half or so. And we're proud to say that we're semi-settled in Denver, but now that we're actually settled here, we're starting to get the travel itch again. So
I'm curious, because a lot of our listeners are obviously people who live outside of Los Angeles, outside of California. And so often will they talk to us about how do you prepare to move? Now, as someone who had to live in many cities over the course of a year and a half, how did you and your wife plan that? How did you guys go about strategizing? First of all, like, I guess finances, like to afford to move to these cities. But then also, how did you get integrated with that community as well once you were there?
That is a loaded question. Okay, let me see if I can
answer that in 1 minute.
Yeah, I'll do it quickly and efficiently.
I want you to write a 10-page essay just like you did Will Smith. Yeah.
If you want to follow up, let me know. So I have three tips for you. Number one is that if you're thinking about moving, get rid of as much stuff as you possibly can. And don't worry, you won't actually miss the stuff, I promise. Number two is that don't get caught up in the hype of, oh, we have to buy a home one day. Because it's not necessarily true. You don't necessarily have to buy a home to be happy. And so my wife and I kind of realized that, and we're very happy renting at the moment. And then number three is, when you get to these new cities, it's actually kind of lonely because you don't know anyone. And so, you know, join networking groups and join meetups. And when we were in British Columbia, we would do a lot of volleyball on the weekend. We'd join meetup groups. So yeah, I think the three tips are, don't worry about the stuff, get rid of it and be limber, if you will. Second is spend the money you have on things that are going to make you happy, not necessarily what other people you have to have. And number three is join meetups and do everything you can to network.
I think that's fantastic. And so concise. Well done. We can tell you work with Twitter a lot.
Yeah. I believe that was under 140 characters, congratulations, or 280 characters.
280.
Yeah. So one of the things we do talk about, which now that, you know, finding out recently that you're originally from this area, what would you say after moving, you know, Vancouver, Chicago, especially, you know, Chicago, New York, the big players, San Francisco, which I've been to every one of the cities that you've mentioned. I went to Vancouver recently for a wedding, and it was excellent. So nice. And I love New York. My wife's family's from Chicago. So just definitely the only place I haven't been is Denver. What would you say makes the LA area unique compared to the rest?
Yes, that's a really good question. What I love to think about it like is that it has the same motivational vibe and drive that a city like New York or Chicago has, but you're on the beach. So you also get the sort of surfer laid back sort of, balance that a lot of the New Yorkers and East Coast and big city people, quote unquote, big city people don't have. So you get both perspectives. You get the people who don't, you grind, you know, in cities, which you get in Los Angeles, but then you also get this beautiful nature aspect that I don't think a lot of cities have, that you can remove yourself from the hustle, I guess, and the daily grind when you need to.
No, absolutely. There's so many opportunities, even like in the city, to get away from the city, which is so rare for big cities like this that are so expansive. And also, like, every spot in this area is different. Like, going to Sherman Oaks is a lot different from going to NoHo. And going from NoHo to, you know, Silver Lake is a lot different. So it's so interesting, which makes it a perfect place to film in a lot of ways, because you can have so many different sceneries and backgrounds.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So you do a lot of freelance blogging. You talk at several, I mentioned earlier, several different conventions and marketing get-togethers. How do you prepare for those? How do you prepare, you know, so many blogs? I know you blog a lot for Buffer. You know, how do you organize that and always have content? And also, how do you prepare for those talks to make sure you're giving valuable advice in the certain time that you have? Because I'm sure you have like a, you know, 1-2 hour or 2 hour spot. How do you make sure you get the best and present it accurately?
Yeah, that's a really good one. And I think it's still something I'm learning every day. And I, for the first part, for the prepare parts, is that I don't try to make any of it up myself. I learn from people who have gone before me, and I try to take inspiration from everywhere I can. So I read a lot of different publications, you know, Fast Company, New Yorker, HuffPost, Business Insider, Forbes, like all of the publications, and obviously individual people too. So I try to, when I'm preparing, I don't make stuff up as I go. I'm very like habitual, and I try to make sure to take the best advice and practices from everybody else. Now, when it comes to actually like regurgitating that information into something valuable in a short amount of time, I'm still trying to actually hone that craft, because it's very, very hard. I think you have two types of speakers in the world, and you have two types of writers. There are the speaker writers that write very they're almost motivational, right? Like they write that makes you want to take action, even though it might not be based in any sort of like factual stuff. They have like this air about them that makes you want to follow them. And then there are other writers and speakers that are all facts and data. And that's what makes them great, right? They can spit out a statistic in a second and you'll be like, oh my gosh, that guy's so smart, or that girl's so smart, because she knows like all these awesome things. So I think what I'm trying to do is find like, am I a motivational speaker, or am I a statistics guy, or like, what is my thing? And I think that's still a work in progress right now.
I think that's so interesting that you kind of talk about like, you've got to find your brand. You've got to find like, all right, where do you fit in the categories of speaking, which is very similar to podcasts or writing, you know, what genre do you fit into, which also helps kind of focus where your message goes. What's the main message of whatever you're speaking about?
Yeah, exactly. And that's a really good point. It probably can't be stressed enough. And you could probably do an entire podcast series on branding. I think one, I was talking to Everett Taylor, who is one of my sort of early on mentors at Buffer. And he was saying that the importance of a brand isn't so you can make money or so you can get in retweets on Twitter. It's so that no matter where you go with your career, you have that loyal audience who follows you. So like, let's say like Everett, for example, was working at like, I think this app, and he like grew this app together, but he built his brand in a way that he was able to then take his following and then move to a car company and still be just as good and bring that following with him. So he was like niche agnostic almost, or like I would say industry agnostic. He had built what he was passionate about, built the fans around him. And now no matter where he goes in his career, he has those people with him.
I think that's also very true for actors, and kind of to go back towards your thesis for Will Smith. One of the reasons why he's so successful is because he's been able to sustain his following from all the different levels of his career. I don't think of him as the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, because I think of him from Independence Day. That's when I got caught on to Will Smith. Daniel was Fresh Prince.
Fresh Prince all the way, baby.
But then, you know, if you were there for him when he was a rapper and then you saw him get into movies, there's that also interest when you shift, I think, types in a way, that there's that natural curiosity of like, oh, can they do this? And then when they nail it, then right. Yeah, I'm on board.
Mm-hmm. I'm only a rapper.
Right.
You know, and he wasn't like, I'm only an actor. I'm going to experiment and I'm going to have fun with it. And like, this is who I am. And if you don't like me or you don't want to come along with my journey, then you could stay back with rapper Will. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to TV or something, you know?
Right.
And I think that's also key, is that obviously establishing your brand, but not feeling confined by it.
Right. Exactly. So I try to write, like, for example, I try to write on a variety of topics, because I haven't necessarily, like, I think a lot of people go into like brand building and they're like, oh, okay, my brand is healthcare. Like, I'm all about healthcare. Like, that's my thing. And then they get into it and they're like, I'm not really that passionate about healthcare. Like, I would say, you go into it thinking, I'm going to try a bunch of different stuff and I'm going to write about politics one day, I'm going to write about healthcare the next day. And like, once I find something that I like, maybe I'll stick to it then, but I'm not going to just like dedicate. I'm not going to pre-call myself something before I get there.
Might I suggest Will Smith? What if all your blogs, just every blog always went back to Will Smith in some form or fashion?
I mean, presidents, right? They'll have their biographers who go to them specifically. You could be Will Smith's biographer.
There you go.
Why not?
His ghostwriter.
Well, you know why I wouldn't do that though? Because I only need one sentence to say why Will Smith's the greatest of all time. You know, there's only so many things I can write about.
But see, you have that sentence written on a 300-page book, like every single page.
It's just over, right, like, you know, Jack, No Work, No Play makes Jack a dull boy. Yeah. But it's Will Smith is the greatest actor and greatest yeah. mind of our time.
Like, it's like the chalkboard in movies. We're just like,
yeah. Or at the beginning of Simpsons. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just want to touch real quick. I mentioned in the intro about your Skillshare class. Can you just kind of tell us what it is and what people learn from it? And kind of, you know, if you've learned anything new, or if you could go back and add anything, what you would add to it?
Gosh, I'm glad you asked about the Skillshare class, because that was one of my favorite projects of 2017 and 18. Yeah. So I think on an actual tactical level, what I learned was that if courses are such an incredible value for your audience, they're also incredibly hard to create. Like, Skillshare flew me out there. They put me up. They like brought me into the office. We shot about 8 to 9 hours worth of film back to back to back.
So this was like professionally done by Skillshare. This wasn't you recording yourself. They kind of, were you invited by them, or did you submit it to them and they kind of accepted it?
Yeah. So very luckily we were invited by Scott. He's great. So, and then their whole team edited it and it like came out all professional looking. So what I've learned tactfully from the Skillshare class is that as an entrepreneur, if you're thinking about, building a class for your audience or whatever it is, highly consider outsourcing the entire thing. So, cause it could be a couple month long project. Mm-hmm. I think in terms of the Skillshare class on a theme base and like what we actually learned about social media is that I think that if you're an entrepreneur and your content is education and you're trying to educate people on a certain field, I think what I learned from this is that you have to remember that a lot of people are just beginning out. Like, a majority of our audience at Buffer, they're not like deep Facebook ad experts. They're not like, a lot of them don't even have social media strategies.
We're pointing to ourselves.
So
I've called Brian more times than I've called any other guest, and I feel terrible about it, but he has been so nice.
Just as an aside, there's been so many times where I've been at work. I work in a medical office as my day job, and Daniel will be like, Michael, I need to talk to you. So I'll go down when I'm getting the mail, and it's like, hey, Daniel, what's wrong? Is it what happened? And it's like, I talked to Brian.
We've got to delete our whole Instagram.
Yeah. Hey, well, you guys are doing great things since we chatted, and before too. Like, it was all good before. But yeah, like, a lot of people in your audience, I think a lot of times we as like educators, if you will, or podcasters, whatever it is, like, and this is going to, I don't want this to come off mean or anything, but we overestimate how much we think our audience knows. And a lot of times they just want to like, they want to get in, they want to get to know the basics. They want support to know that they're not in this alone. And I think that's one of the biggest Skillshare takeaways for me was that, like, a class like social media strategy, what to me is sort of like this must have for every business. And it's like, yeah, everybody has a social media strategy. That class, I think, has like 8,000 students and like 400 positive reviews. And it's like ended up being one of the best Skillshare classes of 2017 on their platform. And it's just a reminder to me, like, oh, that's right. Like, don't forget about the majority of your community who's just trying to learn and are just starting out.
Right. That's fantastic. And that's awesome that, like, and if you want a fun game, go watch YouTube videos about Skillshare and see if you can spot Brian's class. Cause I saw it on another YouTuber's post about Skillshare. And I was like, I took a screenshot and sent it to him. I was just kind of like, hey, I know that guy. So real quick, I had a friend of ours, a friend of the show, Kurt Mega. He teaches at an acting studio, and he recently did a class on social media and branding for actors. And he said that he had a lot of parents come in place of their children because they wanted to get some advice for their kids. And one of the issues he had, and I want to see maybe your work around this when this happens, was he would try to, you know, explain to them about, you need to know your brand and know who you are. And that's really the first step, is like knowing who you are to know what you need to post. And they were like, well, what does he need to post to get a ton of followers? How does he become an influencer? How does he get 50,000 followers in like a year? Like, and so he was just getting these like questions that would be in a class would be like step, you know, 15, step 20, you know, how do you, what advice do you have someone maybe that's wanting to teach that class to kind of calm those parents down and kind of guide them to the right spot?
Yes. Okay. So I
I wish people could see your face. I apologize.
No, it's actually, that's a really, really great question. And we get it all the time too. Like, how do I get instant success on social media, right? Like, that's the thing, is how do I instantly succeed on social media? And the problem is, and you know, I'm going to avoid just saying this because like, you can't do it. But so I think for the fun of this show, like, let's pretend, like, let's do it. Like, let's see what happens. I think there's like two, there's a formula, right? For growth. Like, number one's luck. So if you want instant success, you're going to have to get lucky, because I don't know if you've been on Instagram recently. There's so many good photos on there. It's like, how do you even really stand out? So I think if you want to find instant success, you have to be doing things off of Instagram too. Like travel bloggers, for example, and all of these people you see that get paid to wear products and showcase products. Like they're not just on Instagram. Like, they have a whole brand outside of it. They have a travel blog. They have a fashion blog. They do all these things outside of Instagram platform that allow them to quickly grow an audience on Instagram. The other way to do it is you just buy followers. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that, because it's totally.
Do not do that.
Yeah. But hey, I mean, you know, people have bought followers in the past and been mm-hmm. successful at it. We almost did it as an experiment at Buffer just to see what would happen. And we decided that it probably wouldn't be the best if we wanted to keep in good graces with Instagram. But I think just short of, I mean, you have to have some luck. You definitely have to have some luck to grow quickly. And then the formula that I was just talking about is that the second part is that you just have to be super consistent and you have to have something unique. So that consistent content is for sure key. And then the unique part is that, like, that's you. Like, what do you bring to the Instagram or social media table that other people aren't bringing? And a lot of people are like, well, you know, I'm a travel blogger. It's like, okay, if you're a travel blogger, what kind of travel blogger are you? Because there's 15 million travel bloggers on Instagram. Like, what is it about your traveling that people would want to follow? Or, you know, what is it about your health recipes that people would want to follow? And then it's just patience after that too. Like, just short of luck, if you didn't, you know, you have to have patience. So it's consistent content. You have to be you, and you have to have something unique, and you have to be patient.
Nice. Thank you so much for that. So let's talk about Buffer real quick. Kind of go into where you are now. Can you just kind of go through what the application and interview process was for that job? And, or for that, did you start out as digital marketing specialist, where you started out, and then just kind of what your responsibilities are?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just clarify what Buffer is for those of our listeners who don't know.
Awesome. Would love to. Thanks for the opportunity to plug shamelessly. So Buffer is just a quick pitch. Buffer is a social media management platform. It allows you to schedule hosts in advance, check your analytics, and really just allows you to have a consistently great social media presence. We have a couple different tools: Publish, which allows you to schedule; Reply, which allows you to monitor and respond to people on social media; and then an upcoming product is Analyze to analyze all of your social media posts. So that's a quick thing about Buffer. I think, so looking back on kind of getting into Buffer as an employee, I was working at the university at the time. I was doing these different things. I had a website up and going. I was like blogging. And just like, spoiler alert, I think it was that's why I got the interviews, because nowadays, as you both know, like, you're literally side hustling as we talk right now, mm-hmm. Is that you have to have sort of this career life and other career life. Like, you can't just be passionate about one thing anymore. You have to have all these different things. And so my friend actually sent me the link to the job post when I first started Buffer. And he was like, hey man, this is a really cool company. I don't know if you've heard of them. You should probably check them out. Anybody on the Buffer team who might be listening right now was actually using Hootsuite at the time, embarrassingly enough.
I'm familiar with that app.
Yeah. But you know, so I was like, well, if I'm going to get an interview, I should probably start using Buffer. Turns out nothing against Hootsuite. Love Hootsuite as well. I actually love Buffer a lot. It's like way simpler, and it was just a cooler product, and the culture was awesome, and their company's awesome. So I was like, okay, this is great. Let's interview. And the interview process took 3 months. I did a ton of different interviews with Leo, the chief marketing officer at the time. And yeah, it was a long process. But I think ultimately what got me into this position where I am currently is what we just talked about. And that's sort of having this side hustle mentality. And it kind of showed that I was willing to go above and beyond, I think.
Nice. And what are your responsibilities as the digital marketing strategist?
So currently I do a variety of things, which is why no day is the same, which is awesome, which I love. So I think a typical day for me is podcasting, social media, video creation, partnerships, and writing. So maybe not a typical day, but a typical week, that's sort of like how I approach it, is like maybe a 20 percent split between all of those things. And it allows me to do a bunch of different fun things. And we're actually in the process of even maybe even building a little growth tool on the side too. So just doing like little experiments where I can, and then sort of focusing the majority of my time on proven channels that have worked for us.
You mentioned partnerships as one of the things that you do. Could you just touch on that a little bit more and give us more of an idea of what that means?
Yeah, absolutely. And partnerships are some of my favorite things to do because I think they're super valuable. So what I mean by partnerships is teaming up with our peer companies. So companies like Animoto or Asana or, you know, like people in our space that aren't directly our competitors, and just literally reaching out to them, to their marketing team, and saying, hey, like, do you want to do a co-blog post, maybe a co-webinar? Let's create some social media content together. And then let's say, hey, let's do a full campaign around it. Hey, Buffer and Asana, hey, we're teaming up on the skills that make a great marketing team. And we both email our list. And what that allows us to do is sort of expand our network into these spaces that are already established by companies that we know our audience would also like, and then that their audience would also like ours.
Nice.
I think that's great. I know one thing that Daniel and I have been trying to do is just meet more podcasters in the LA area. We recently had a host of a female empowerment podcast on ours that we're going to be releasing here in a little bit. But it's just great because we as podcasters get to learn from them, mm-hmm, and their strategies and everything. But then we also get to maybe have some of their followers check us out,
yeah,
in the process.
Absolutely.
Oh, for sure. And I'm like almost convinced that today, if you're just starting out, the only real way to growth is that sort of partnership approach. If you're low on budget and you can't just spend a ton on advertising, there's really only a couple ways you can build quickly. Because blogging takes a long time to build, podcasting takes a long time to build organically. Like all these channels take organic time. Mm-hmm. Partnerships are immediate. Like, mm-hmm, if you partner up with a podcaster, like you said, he or she are gonna share that. Hopefully, if you do a good job with interviewing, which you both are great at it.
Thank you.
She'll share that with her audience. You know, so.
Right. So let's kind of talk about the science of social media, the podcast that you co-host with Haley Griffith. How did that come about? and can you talk about, I know you guys over the last few years have evolved the podcast from what it originally was to help kind of the growth of it. So if you kind of talk about its origin, how you came a part of it, and then how you evolved it to what it is today and how you've seen growth from that.
Yes. Yes. Podcasting industry is a great one. So
we love the podcast, by the way. I mean, we do, yeah, like we listen to every episode. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Like once we signed up with Buffer, we were like, wait, they also have a podcast? Yes.
Subscribed.
We need more of you guys. We need more of you in our world. No, it's great. Before we started the science of social media, we actually had another Buffer podcast called Culture Lab, and it was about sort of culture and work and that sort of thing. And it was great. It was our first try, I think. And it was a little difficult to get off the ground, and the topic was pretty niche. So we weren't necessarily like growing like we kind of hoped. So we're like, okay, well, we've sort of validated the channel in the sense that, yeah, this is like a future. And this was in 2015 that we started Culture Lab. Looking forward, we knew podcasting was going to be a channel of the future, if you will. And so early 2016, we're like, okay, we're going to start a social media podcast. Who's going to host? Brian, you're a social media manager. You probably make sense. And then it was like, oh, Haley is also sort of in that space. Why not you two join up? And then we sort of started diving in, and anybody who started a podcast knows how much work goes into formulating the idea, putting together the episodes, getting the host.
We're nodding wildly over here on the set. Yeah. Are we going to get guests for the podcast?
Right. Yeah. Is it going to be a sort of like guest interview format? Is it going to be a solo format? Like, what is going to be the topic? And so, yeah, we launched it in September 2016. You know, we got the initial spike of iTunes because they put us in the like the feature category, and then that died off. And then what we were left with were the loyal people, right? The people that actually listened to the podcast. And over time, we've realized that podcasting offers us an opportunity to be in people's ears for 15, 20 minutes every single week. And you can't really necessarily measure the value of that versus, like, I guess what I mean is that if you look at our blog traffic, Buffer's blog traffic, we get like 1.5 million sessions per month. Podcasts, we get about 14,000 downloads a week. If you compare those, like it's hard to compare those. So what you have to do is say, okay, we're invested in the podcasting space because we know it's a good channel to be on. And the people who listen to us for 15 minutes are exponentially more value than somebody skimming through a blog post. You know what I mean? So you sort of have to have this buy-in from the top down and this belief that podcasting is more valuable to actually stick with it. Because if you just looked at pure numbers, it would drive you insane. And so over time, we still want to grow the show, obviously, but we've switched from interview format over to solo, sort of just Haley and I format, to cut down the length, because we've also found that there's people only listen to so many episodes per week, and the 30 minute to hour space is dominated by big names. So there's not a lot of people in the 10 to 15 minute space. So we're trying to sort of dominate that space, because we believe that 15 minutes is better than no minutes. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
absolutely. And like I said, it's been a really great idea and a great podcast, just because you do share stuff when a new algorithm happens, or, you know, you keep everybody updated on what's going on in the social media world. But I would say it's definitely worth going back to the interviews that you guys have done, because there are some really great marketers that gave some really great thoughts and tips of how they've used, and usually it's focused on a certain theme of like how they used Facebook ads to grow their, you know, marketing, or how they're the rebels and using blogs to, you know, whatever. So it's definitely worth going back, but I do like the format where you guys kind of just share information and tips and quotes that come out as it goes on.
Yeah. And also as an actor, it's so useful, because so often, at least especially here in Los Angeles, social media is it is part to your key of success. If you're to become the next Will Smith, you have to know what to post and everything like that. And by listening to this weekly podcast, you're able to tune in and find out what strategies you can apply to your own personal career, your own hustle.
Hey everybody, it's Daniel. I'm so sorry to interrupt. Just wanted to let you know that we're still doing our Hustle Survey Contest. If you go to our website, HollywoodHustlePodcast.com, scroll all the way down on the homepage, you'll see a link to a survey where you can tell us what you think about the show currently. What you love about it, what you don't like about it. You can tell us about our social media game, what you think we could do better, what you want. Tell us about Instagram Lives, Twitter Lives, things like that, so that we can get a better understanding of how we're doing and how we can gain more support and more followers and more listeners to help bring the show up and higher even more, and do even more things with it. So please go do that. You'll be entered in to win our good friend Alexandra Boylan's book, Create Your Own Career in Hollywood, Advice from a Struggling Actress Who Became a Successful Producer. This is a great book with some great insights, goes deeper into Alexandra's career and history and what she does to make herself successful. So please take the survey. And then if you also go to our iTunes account and leave us a review, not just a star, but you go in and you actually write a comment, you will also have a second entry put into the contest. So take the survey, you leave a review on iTunes, you get two entries into this contest. If you've already left an iTunes review, just do the survey and that review will count. All right. Just make sure somewhere on maybe the survey you let us know what your screen name was. All right, guys, back to Brian, Michael, and myself. Enjoy the rest of the interview. Now, what you're working on a new thing right now called the Thinker Newsletter, basically to help people kind of expand their mind and think about new things and new ideas and new possibilities. How did that come about and what are your goals for that?
So one of the, and I'm sure you both noticed that one of the trends over the last year or so are these like newsletters that almost act as content in themselves. So like the Skim, you know, Morning Brew, the Hustle, like all these, seems like everybody nowadays does, they have a blog, they have a podcast, and they have a newsletter. Like that's the next sort of frontier in email marketing. So I was like, well, I should probably start a newsletter and see how it goes. And a lot of the newsletters are focused sort of on this newsy spin. So they'll be like, you know, insert headline here, insert witty interpretation of that story here. Like that's the general format. And I kind of wanted to start a newsletter to see what it was all about, but also not necessarily follow that format. And so the Thinker Newsletter is just stuff that gets you thinking. So like, we'll talk about things like, you know, how one city in America back in the day used to drink radium because they thought it was like actually healthy for you. And, or we'll talk like my most recent one was about the gig economy and how being a freelancer isn't actually all it's cracked up to be. And just sort of topics like that, that are very sort of meta, get you thinking and party. It's dinner talk for on Fridays. So
nice. Now, is this part of a bigger plan for you, or is this something that's kind of just independent solo? It's pretty much the newsletter that's just going to be kind of to do as a side hustle.
Yeah, I think it's exactly that. And like we talked about earlier, it's just that sort of like expanding your interests sort of within your own personal brand and taking advantage of channels that seem to be working while you can.
Great. Michael is definitely been pushing, and we've looked at doing a newsletter for our podcast eventually and having something, a subscription email list and stuff like that. If you can, you know, what do you feel on a newsletter is important to make sure it stays relevant and it stays to gain those followers? You know, what material should you include, and how often do you think you should send out a newsletter?
Good question. Number one, I want to just quickly kind of circle. Number one regret that we, for me in the podcast, for Buffer's podcast, is not starting a newsletter. So if you're thinking about it, I'd highly recommend it, because 5 years from now, when you're looking back, you'll wish you had it. So I encourage you to do that. I think when you're actually talking about utilizing the newsletter for your audience, and you have to, I think the thing is, you can't just say like, we're going to use it to blast our message. Like, people are going to want other things from you that aren't what they're just going to find on the podcast. Like, you can't, the newsletter can't just, and I'm sorry, I'm using your podcast as an example,
no, it's fine.
But this is kind of like perfect. A bigger thought.
Yeah.
But it is like sort of a bigger picture thought of that. It has to be something unique that people can't find elsewhere, because if they wanted to find it elsewhere, they would go elsewhere. They want to subscribe to your newsletter because they want something unique. So if, for example, with your podcast, maybe it's like exclusive behind the scenes bloopers or interviews or, you know, resources for people to continue to learn more based on what was talked about in the episode, or maybe news in your industry, or whatever it is, it has to be something unique. Because as you know, we're all flooded with emails every single morning. So I guess the thing is like, what's going to make people want to open your email versus something else?
Right. Yeah. One of the things that we had talked about was making it a kind of a resource for LA. So having featured job posts or featured living posts, and like for people that are thinking about moving here, it's a resource for them to kind of get used to what it's like to live in LA and what's available.
But then in the same token, if you are in Los Angeles, here are some things, some tips that you might not have discovered, mm-hmm. like hole in the wall.
Exactly.
Kind of tips.
Yeah. Right. Then that's a perfect way to think about it. Like, you're already well ahead. Instead of saying like, we want to build a newsletter email list so that every time you release a new podcast episode, we can just send it to people. Like, that's definitely not, that's definitely not going to work.
No, absolutely. I'm a podcaster.
And I was just wondering then, so what would be a good strategy just, you know, on our end, just being selfish of this time, do you do like a monthly newsletter then? Because if you're wanting it not to be released on with every episode, do you just do a monthly newsletter and then slowly but surely, as it becomes more routine, start to shift it to a bi-weekly? Or how often do you release it?
I think there is something to be said for this sort of like building habits with your audience. And so whatever it is you decide to do, do make it a habit for them. So like Morning Brew is a good example. It's a sort of investment focused newsletter that I get every morning. And I think one of the reasons that the Skim, you know, the Hustle and all these newsletters have become popular is because they are a part of people's lives every day. It's hard to really build a loyal following based off a monthly newsletter or a weekly newsletter. Thinker, for example, is weekly, and that's great. Like, I think weekly is probably bare minimum for newsletters.
So I think that's just really interesting though. Like, so as opposed to a weekly or a monthly newsletter, the key, if like you're trying to get people to listen to you every single day, is to do a, would you say maybe a smaller newsletter or something that's going to benefit that person every single day?
Yeah, that's a really tough one. I think if I think about my own email habits, I'm not sure that I would necessarily like take on another daily newsletter. So yeah. I think it's sort of like this rapid experimentation up front. Like, maybe you start with a week long newsletter and then shoot somebody like a random one on a Monday and see what the open rate is. You know what I mean? Like, I think with newsletters, you have to be experimenting a ton up front to figure out what people like, and then sort of like keep honing as you go along, just like with anything, social media, marketing, whatever it is, like rapid experimentation up front. I think that the danger is when you think like, I have a monthly newsletter, you know, this is what it is, this is what's going to be, this is the format every single week. And that's what, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I'm more of a fan of trying a bunch of different things up front and then figuring out what works as you go along.
And that's so perfect, because I remembered just going back to podcasting at the beginning, we were so set on releasing two episodes every week. And we, after a month of doing that, we were both just so burnt out and stuff. And then it was just taking a step back and thinking, wait a minute, this is our thing. We're not, you know, we don't have to appease higher ups or anything. This is our thing. And so we have the power to change and experiment and see what works best for our listeners.
Exactly. And it's funny because we actually used to do two episodes a week when we first started as well. And like, we also had the interview style when we first started as well. And, you know, you are going to upset some people when you get rid of the interview style, for example, with our podcast, but you're also going to grow in other ways. Like, you can't grow unless you experiment. You're going to stay stagnant if you keep the same tactics. So like what you just said, you know, switching up the amount of even just the cadence of your podcast oftentimes relieves stress on yourself and then also helps to get more people in your circle.
Nice. I think that's all really important. I think especially talking about like quick and trial and error at the beginning is really important. I know, and being aware, self-aware that this didn't work, so let's try something else. Or this didn't feel right. This felt unnatural.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, I don't want to talk any more about social media because that's not why I brought you on here. So just kind of going into social media in general as kind of a final kind of overall topic, how should someone look at social media from a branding standpoint? You know, what are the first steps, do you think, when you're like, I have a podcast, I have a travel blog, I have this, I'm going to get on Instagram or on Twitter, and I want to build that brand on that site. What's the first steps, do you think, personally, they should go through?
I love that question. And it's something we talk about in our Skillshare class and also on the podcast a lot. And it's this idea that we've sort of like been theming through this whole time. It's like the idea of scrappiness. And I think a lot of people go into social media with this notion that if you have it perfect, people will follow and like our audience will grow. But in fact, it's actually the opposite. So if you look at BuzzFeeds and the Tasties and like the companies and brands that have like hundreds of millions of followers on social media, like their accounts are ugly. Like those are not, the content isn't quote unquote beautiful, right? It's real and it's authentic and it's dog videos and it's recipes and it's real stories about real people. And I think that's sort of what I have learned. The biggest lesson for me, what thinking back on going into social media, is that it's, you have to be willing to sort of ask yourself and be honest with yourself of like, why would people follow me? Cause I think a lot of people are like, oh, we're this brand or I'm this person. Like, obviously people are going to follow me. Like, I'm going to post the same content as everybody else on social media, but people are going to follow me, when it's not the case. And I think that that's the common misconception with social media, is that if you just post, like, people will like the content and people will follow the content. At Buffer, we've learned that you have to be willing to experiment with a whole host of different content and types of things to find what works for you.
Well, I was curious, as someone who has had to focus on his own social media, and as an actor, you know, I'm not always acting every single day. And I think sometimes the struggle that many people fall in is that, oh, well, I'm not doing anything right now. I don't have a book that's being published or anything like that. What are things or ideas that people can post that supports their brand and still has their streams active, even during the drier periods of one's career?
Great question. I'll answer that in two ways, because I think that's a very interesting point that a lot of people, it's like this, I would say this is a common question brought up in social media. Like, you have to post, right? And I think nowadays, so I'm going to answer that one first, then I'll go back to your question. Nowadays with the algorithms, you actually don't have to post that much in order to be successful. Like I forgot what the brand's called. I think it's like the Onion or something like that, but they post like maybe once a month, but every time they post, it gets like 60,000 likes because they have this following. I think there's a common misconception that you have to post just to post. And actually that is hurting your brand on social media, because if you post just to post, that probably means that the content's not that good. However, I will say that I do like to post a lot, because I think that being in front of people and having that brand awareness is actually a positive thing. But you have to not just post to post. So like, you have to have both, right? You have to have good content and then you have to be consistent. If you're not going to have good content, just don't be consistent. So to be consistent and have something to post all the time, like, one of my favorite strategies for social media is curating content. You don't have to create it yourself, which is the best part. You get to share opinions and voices of other people of people in your community, of other big brands. And honestly, since we started sort of taking this mindset of, oh, we don't actually have to post buffer stuff all the time. Awesome. Like, weight off the shoulders, sigh of relief. Our engagement and our reach has gone up because I was at Social Media Marketing World a few weeks ago, and I was on an Instagram panel. I was talking about this exact same theory. And it's the fact that, like, for people to share your content is themselves putting them out there on your behalf, which is really hard to do. It's hard to get somebody to share your brand because essentially they're saying, like, hey, I believe in this person or I believe in this company. And that's like a public thing.
One of the things I really like that you guys post is a lot of sometimes not personal, but like personal business information. Like one of my favorite posts that I think you did was like sharing your normal day, like what your daily routine is. And you had it broken down like from 9 to 10, I check emails, and from like this to this, I do this. And I thought that was really fascinating. And it actually helped me because I knew like if I emailed you, I know when I'm probably going to get a response. Like, oh, this is when he checks email. So if I don't hear a response right now, that's why. Where do you think, especially in a professional environment or a branding environment, where's the line between personable and business?
I love that question. We actually just released on the Science of Social Media, we talked about this idea of storytelling. And the reason that you, Daniel, love my posts, and I'm just guessing here, but I think it's because you felt that way. You know what I mean? Like you felt like, oh, everybody has a busy day. This is how he breaks up his schedule. Kind of similar to mine, but maybe I have something different. Like you felt that. And I think that is why we're seeing such a dramatic shift for brands to move towards this human approach, is because they're starting to realize that people weren't feeling anything with brand content like previously. What people are now, when you put a face behind a brand, or you put, if you're transparent, I guess is a good word for it. If you talk about the struggles of being a brand or being a company or being an entrepreneur, that's when people actually feel something, and that's when they actually care. And I think I honestly would go as far as saying that there's not, I don't even think there's too far these days. Now, where it gets tricky is if you don't have the right person as the brand. So you got to be careful, of course, like who you're getting to represent your brand. But I think that,
yikes.
But I think that there's no such thing as too human these days.
Oh, nice. I know you have to go soon, so I want to kind of start wrapping it up a little bit. Do you have any advice for, Insta story? That's a big thing in video, or the two big things really coming up in 2018 in social media. You know, for those that don't have the studio with the production crew to film long segments with interviews with big celebrities or whatever, how do you suggest people utilize video and Insta stories if they're kind of, it's just them or just them and another person that's part of their team? What are your suggestions for that?
Yeah, I love that question. And I think there's a few ways to approach it. And I think one of the ways taken from Gary Vee is this idea of sort of this documentation approach. And it's been done successfully a lot now. And I think that's kind of where we're moving with video. Even Mark Zuckerberg recently said, like, one day the feed's going to be all stories. Like, we're not actually going to have a feed anymore. It's going to be these sort of like short story format type of content. And I think thinking forward and preparing ourselves for that, you got to learn how to document. Like taking a selfie at a coffee shop isn't necessarily documenting. You know what I mean? You have to almost storyboard out your day in order to find out what part of your day you want to tell the story about. Because I think a lot of times people are like, oh, my life's not interesting. It's like, well, it's the not interesting part. I know even we had this conversation, Daniel. It was like, your life is interesting. You have to know how to portray it. Like that's what social media is. It's a total facade. If you look at someone's feed, it's not like they're in Bali every 4 seconds. Like they took 100 pictures of Bali one time. You know what I mean? So I think it's learning how to storyboard out your life and showcasing the behind the scenes sort of grind, the entrepreneurial spirit that will be successful. And you just have to like just do it because it takes practice. And Gary Vee has a team of 15 people behind him. So maybe don't take him as an example, but almost it's like, yeah, you're storyboarding your life as you go.
Right. Absolutely. Now, kind of the final question, do you have any suggestions for books, tips, apps, blogs, podcasts that people should check out or read to help enhance their knowledge of social media and what they can do?
Yes, absolutely. That's a great question. I think, so we have a blog up we have an article up on our blog, on the Buffer blog, called Top 20 Social Media Tools You Should Try in 2018. I think my number one tip is outsource everything you possibly can. So if you're making Instagram stories and you want to make them look cool, don't try to open up Adobe After Effects and do your own thing. Use something like Fast Story or Crello or Canva to outsource that sort of work. And so use tools as much as you possibly can. I think there's a lot of great resources in the social media space. One of the ones I love is Jay Baer's utility book, Utility, one word. And he basically talks about how you are your social media as a person, like being sort of treating social media as a platform to educate and entertain and inspire people. And the other one is one of my favorites, and it probably sounds like I'm a Gary Vee fanatic, but he does have some good perspectives of jab, 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 right hook. Great book. Talks about how, you know, like sort of like we've been talking about the whole time is don't put all your eggs in one basket. It's essentially like these little tiny jabs all day long, and you're just getting in front of people as much as you possibly can until you actually have something bigger, like the launch of a podcast or the launch of a newsletter, that you've built up this trust and following with people over time to where you can actually ask them for something. If you try to ask up front, you're going to fail. So sort of this approach of little by little sort of building trust and loyalty over time until you have this great audience.
Right. And I meant to ask this earlier real quick. I'm so sorry. Any tips for Instagram lives? That's a big thing that's kind of growing now. You know, any suggestions to how to make that relevant and consistent?
Yeah, for sure. And I'm actually really intrigued with Instagram Live and Facebook Live recently, especially since basically their head of newsfeed, Adam Mosseri, said do live. Facebook is telling us to do live, so we should probably listen to them if we want to see success. I think with live, it's interesting because now you can have the multi people on live, which is really cool. It's you're doing one of two things. You either have a guest on where you have somebody cool on your podcast or on your Instagram Live and you're talking, you're sort of just shooting the shit and you have like the back and forth, or you have, it's a very educational or entertaining in nature sort of Instagram Live and you're trying to teach people about something and they want to sort of show up to watch it. This is a really random example, but one of my favorite Instagram lives of all time is John Mayer actually went live a few weeks ago and he did this 45 minute guitar lesson. And you're like, holy crap. Like, you know, a great guitar player just essentially sat people down and gave them a guitar lesson for 45 minutes. You're not going to find that elsewhere. Yeah. So obviously you're not John Mayer as a brand, but you are a brand that has something to teach. And I think that's what's valuable.
You know, there's a lot of different services where you can do like streaming video, Twitch and YouTube and things like that. And I know I just started following a YouTuber named by the name of Jax Films, and he just started doing Twitch, where on his Twitch, he actually basically videotapes or shows him preparing the videos. So he does a lot of like Photoshop based bits and a lot of music composition bits. And so he did a Twitch yesterday, which was him composing music for his next video, and he kind of goes through his process and his creative process. And I thought that for Twitch, I hadn't seen that. It's usually, you know, a gamer platform and things like that. So I thought that was a fascinating idea to take that brand and do it that way.
Absolutely. And even just like giving people an behind the scenes look at you creating a podcast episode, or teaching them how you do your Instagram lives, even almost alive within a live stream. Yeah. It's like these. Yeah, exactly. It's like, what are you trying to get people to feel, right? You want them to, going back to that storytelling ideas, you want people to, you're showing the hustle of what it takes to actually do something, because all social media is this facade where we're like, well, they must have a perfect life. And, you know, they go to Bali every 4 seconds, but the reality is that they're probably in Los Angeles most of the time. And then they go to Bali and they take a bunch of pictures, but like showing that and giving people like this realization that, yeah, like it's normal to be normal sort of thing. And so I think, yeah, the behind the scenes look is always a great idea.
So just any final advice for anybody thinking about getting into digital marketing or the social media, you know, manager, coordinator field, any advice to them on what they should learn or what's important to know before they get into it?
Yeah, I think for me, what's helped me is sort of always try to strive for both soft and then technical skills. So soft skills being like the communication skills, being able to present yourself well, being able to sell yourself what is valuable about you. So I think that obviously applies to any sort of job field. When it comes to digital marketing, we're moving towards a lot of this technical sort of knowledge, right? So these days you can't just know how to write. You have to know how to write that's going to get ranked in Google. You can't just know how to podcast. You have to know how to podcast, edit the podcast, and then ship the podcast. You can't just know how to film a video because you look pretty. You have to know how to film a video, edit the video, and then also make sure that the video is going to get shares on social media. So I think if you're moving into the digital marketing space, teach yourself as much technical skills as you possibly can, because the more technical you are, the more invaluable you will be for a business, because everybody can write. You know, like if you really tried, you could write a blog post, but not everybody can write a blog post that's going to rank them in Google or that's going to get shares on social media. So I think that technical skill aspect is huge.
Oh, fantastic. That's awesome. That is actually really good advice, Nate. And yeah. Not that I thought you'd give us terrible advice, but that's really good advice. thank you for that. Before we kind of wrap up, where can people find you if they want to follow you on Instagram or Twitter, or if they want to follow the Science of Social Media? You know, where can they find Brian and the stuff he does?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm all over the Buffer blog at blog.buffer.com. I also have my own personal website at briangregpeters.com, and that's where you can find the newsletter. And then, of course, if you want to continue to listen to my voice over air, check out the Science of Social Media, and that's pretty much just Buffer podcast. So
nice. And you know, like I said, guys, the Science of Social Media is a fantastic podcast. Me and Michael both highly suggest it, and follow their blogs, follow them on Twitter. We try to do the Buffer chat every week as much as possible, where you can just learn other people's thoughts and opinions on different types of parts of social media. They do a different kind of theme every week, and they do it twice, so you always have a chance to get to it. And it's been really valuable to me, and I've actually really enjoyed just sharing our process on that as well.
And also just please check out buffer.com, because we use it, and it is really essential to how Daniel and I approach social media with building our brand as we're discovering it week by week, episode by episode. But it takes so much stress off of our minds when we know that we can use that. So there's a free plug for Buffer.
It's super affordable.
Yes.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for that plug. Yes.
So finally, something we do on here, I started doing this with a radio show I used to host. Before Facebook and after Friendster, there was a little space that a lot of people went to hang out called MySpace. It was very boring. People had, what if God was one of us playing on the background of their profile? And if you weren't in their top six or top eight, you weren't friends. And one of the main staples of MySpace were quizzes that meant nothing, went nowhere, and were really just for you. There was no results at the end like they do with BuzzFeed and stuff now. It was literally you filled this quiz out, maybe posted on your profile, and it was just there. I found one of those quizzes. It's a 167 question quiz. And before we started, Brian, I asked you to pick six numbers between 1 and 167, and those correlate with questions on this quiz. And you have not seen any of these questions, correct?
Nice. No, I have not.
So these questions need no explanation. That's the best part about it. It's yes, no, one word answers, and we move on, because that's what this thing was. There was not a lot of explanation, and I want to keep it that way. So, Brian G. Peters, are you ready for your MySpace quiz?
I am so ready for this. I'm so glad I miss MySpace. Just
and before we start, I'm just really excited that we have a like social media guru on taking questions from a MySpace quiz
and saying this much he misses MySpace.
This is incredible. This is great.
All right.
Cool.
Number one, do you want or have any pets?
Yes.
There we go. This is what's great about this. What is your relationship status?
Married.
Are you male or female?
Female. No, I'm just kidding. Male.
Have you ever been to Hawaii?
Yes.
Did you ever fail a driver's test?
No.
And Brian, your final question for your MySpace quiz, which has shared everyone everything about you. Have you ever ridden in an ambulance?
No, I actually have not.
And that's Brian's MySpace quiz.
Oh, you should, Brian. They're a lot of fun, I can say from personal experience.
Same here. Mine was not real, though. His was real. I was doing it for a shoot.
I've done one where I played an EMT for a film.
Oh, yeah.
And I've also had to be in an ambulance.
Well, thank you, Brian. I hope you enjoyed that. That's one of my favorite things to do, because it's just so nonsensical. And it's literally just, yep, and you move on.
I loved it. Well, thank you for playing that with me. I'll do that again anytime.
Well, thank you, Brian, for being on. We really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. We know how busy you are. And it's just been a pleasure talking. You're literally like one of the nicest guys I think I've met through this podcast. And so it's been an honor just to getting to know you and get to know a little bit more about you.
Yeah. And also just thank you so much. I mean, we're, two guys with a podcast in Los Angeles, and the fact that you and, you know, Buffer have been so helpful of guiding us and giving us tips as we continue our journey and stuff has been very, very valuable. So thank you so much.
It is my pleasure. And I got to give a quick shout out to the Buffer team who are working around the clock to make sure that we get people like you in our community. So thank you so much for saying that. It validates what we're doing. And it was my pleasure to be on the podcast. It was a really fun time. So,
well, thank you so much and have a great rest of your day and a great weekend.
You as well. Thank you.
Bye, Brian.
Bye.
And we are
cut. And we're out.
Welcome back, man. That was such a fun chat to have with Brian. As you could tell, we had a great time. I wish we could have had a little more time to go deeper into social media. I'm sure he'll be back on. We're hoping to get his co-host of the Science of Social Media, Haley Griffith, on as well to share her experiences and get her insights and perspective of social media and what you need to do to become a social media influencer. In regards to the podcast, there's some things changing that you'll notice in some of our more recent interviews coming up. As you heard in the past, there's been times where we didn't do an Act 2 roundtable. There would be me and Michael on both Act 1 and Act 2. As we've looked at, you know, our engagements and downloads, and I think what people have really been attracted to, and I think a lot of that's been guest interviews and how, you know, you hear these different stories and hear their journeys. And I think people find that really interesting. And so I think what we've decided, Michael and I have talked long and hard about this, is that we're going to start doing two episodes per guest, but it'll just be a continuation of one interview. So we're going to do longer interviews to be able to get more information out of people, to discuss more things in detail, and in there go into some topics as well that would probably be in a roundtable episode. And if we decide we want to do a roundtable over a particular topic, those will be reserved for special Team Hustle episodes where we just do roundtable discussions with several people about a particular topic. So that's kind of something you'll notice as we go on. And then there's going to be some more changes as we enter season 3 next year of the show. But for now, that's the biggest change is us, Michael being on every episode with me, co-hosting, and both of us interviewing people, and each act being part of that interview. So I look forward to kind of start bringing those to you and bringing even more information and details from these people and their hustles. I think you're really going to love it. We have great people coming up that we've already talked to and some that we still have to record. Only a few more, and then we'll be done with season 2 and ready to go and start building up for season 3. So we're really excited. Michael could not join me this morning due to some personal conflicts and scheduling conflicts with me and him, unfortunately. So kind of like last time when this happened with me, Michael has recorded his catch-up and weekly check-in. So, Michael, tell us what's been going on, buddy.
Hey guys, so sorry that I couldn't be here, quote unquote, here in the podcast this week. Just unfortunately with my work schedule and things, the hustle being as it is, we weren't able to connect this week. But excited to share with you with how things are going for me. As I've been talking about and sharing with you here on the podcast, Met Again is going great. We had a fantastic preview and opening performances. Inside Acting's very own Trevor Algott actually came to support me this past week. He came and saw the show, and during most of the show, I can never see, I never really look out to the audience. But there's a point in the show that I put on some sunglasses, and that obviously helps block out some of the stage lights. And not going to lie, part of me just felt like super nervous and excited when I just looked out to the audience and just saw him sitting there. And I was, part of me was just like, oh boy, here we go, and just keep on going with the show. But it's been going great so far. We've been getting amazing reviews. It's been really humbling to see how everyone has been able to connect to this show, but I will share that after our preview performance, one gentleman came up to me and he gave me one of the biggest compliments and just one of the most heartfelt connections I've ever had with someone immediately after a performance, but he came up to me, and this is a bit of a spoiler, but he said, "I would just like to thank you because I am a widower." He felt so connected to this piece and to my character, and he felt like I portrayed those emotions and those feelings and everything truthfully. So it was a moment that I was not expecting, but just so grateful, really, really grateful that I get to be in this thing that's connecting with so many people. At the time of the release of this episode, I'm in my final week of the Hollywood Fringe. We have one more performance this upcoming Wednesday at 7:30, and then we have our final show Saturday, June 23rd. If you're in LA and still haven't had a chance to see it, please check us out. We're on hollywoodfringe.org. Just search for us, Met Again, and use the discount code HUSTLE, you guys, to get your $5 tickets. But outside of theater and LA theater, just also wanted to check in with just the health hustle, as it were. My girlfriend and I we've been talking a lot recently, and I shared with her the health goals that I'm trying to reach. And so she is actually a personal trainer, so she gave me a diet and a food plan. And it's been hard. It's never easy changing one's habits, whether that be physical or dietary changes. But I'm happy to report that I'm actually starting to see some changes, and I'm just feeling really good. I'm not Daniel Craig or Chris Pratt by any means, but it just feels good. When you are good to your body, you feel good in return. So that's just been helping me feel a lot more centered recently. And speaking of centered, something that I'm trying to get back in touch with earlier this year, me and Daniel were kind of practicing meditation and morning rituals, and I did fall out of it a little bit. I did fall out of my morning routines and meditation, but I've just been thinking about the lessons that I gained from that time and just trying to apply it to my everyday life and trying to find time to meditate, even if it's for just a couple minutes. But one person that I keep going back to, that I have been going back to all these years since living in Los Angeles, is a gentleman by the name of Alan Watts. He was actually a famous philosopher back in the 1970s, I believe. He was one of the pioneers of bringing Eastern philosophy to quote-unquote the Western side of thinking. So, but one of the big things that he spoke about was the power of meditation, of mindfulness, and Buddhism. And in my recent trip during Memorial Day up to Ojai, I was just hanging out in a bookstore, and I came across his book called Still the Mind. And I just want to share a quick passage that is at the very beginning of the book, but it really blew my mind, and excited to share this with you guys real quick. When a mountain stream flows out of a spring beside the road, and a thirsty traveler comes along and drinks deeply, the traveler is welcome. But the mountain stream is not waiting for the intention of refreshing thirsty travelers. It is just bubbling forth, and the travelers are always welcome to help themselves. This simple passage just made me think about us, hustlers, are the artists and entrepreneurs. It can be so frustrating thinking about your day-to-day, like, oh, I'm not doing the thing that I want to be doing. I'm not on set. I'm not at a writer's table. But this passage just kind of helped me think that, no, we are doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing. Just keep focusing on your hustle. Just keep focusing on your art. And eventually, some thirsty traveler will come along, and you will be the spring that they are looking for. You, your art, your work, you will be the exact thing that they're looking for at that right time. And it's just important for you to know that you just need to keep being you, just keep being present. So with that, those are the things that have been going on in my life this week. Met Again's just been going fantastic. And in the same token, I'm also just trying to find that being centered, and not only with my health, but with mindfulness as well. So, yeah, let's throw it back to Daniel. I'll be back with you guys in just a little bit.
All right. I'm going to be honest. I have not listened to what he has put and what he's talked about, but I know he's had some great runs with Medigan, and I'm sure he mentioned that. And I'm super proud of him. I'm hoping to get to see the show either now or when it does an extended run later in July. So I'm really excited about that. So congrats, Michael, on that. I know you're killing it on stage, buddy. I know he also is talking about a book he's reading, so I'm excited to hear about that when I actually get to listen to his catch-up when he records it. You can cut this, Michael, if you'd like. As for me, guys, some job updates. So finally heard back. I did not get the position full-time, but they did offer me a three-week temp position at another desk, working for another executive. And then after that, they offered me a 3-month temp position after that. So they love me enough to keep me around at least. So I'll be there for at least another 4 months. And some other stuff has happened. I don't want to go into, but, some things did not work out with the person they did hire for that job. So I'm going to be kind of helping out there again, I guess. I don't know what's going to happen. They don't know what's going to happen. They've actually got a hiring freeze right now. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, I'm still there. I'm still employed for at least 4 more months. So that's good. So I'm not too mad, but, it was a little disappointing not getting the job. Not going to lie. I worked really hard, I think, to try to get it. We'll keep pushing on. I'll keep you guys updated on where I go from there. I just want to talk about real quick Kel's episode last week. Michael did a fantastic job interviewing Kel. Kel has become one of my best friends. He is so nice, so kind. We don't get to talk as much now since he's in Japan and the time difference, but it was so great hearing his story and what he's been going through and what he's gone through in the past. And it really, you know, he had some really great inspirational parts about not being afraid to fail, because failing is where you find where you're supposed to be. And I thought that was so great. And when he was talking about, you know, his grandmother and the stories with her, about her just telling him people how great her son is at music, it just reminds me of my grandmother, who always brags about me as well. So Kel, thank you so much for that conversation. Later on this season, you're going to hear part 2 with Michael and Kel, which is a lot of fun. So I can't wait for you guys to hear that later on. But thank you, Michael, for such an awesome interview. And Kel, thank you for the same. Thanks for sitting with Michael for a while and chatting. Really appreciate it. Finally, Triple D, the script, Triple D 2, I'm working on. I've finished a one sheet. If you'd be interested in seeing what the one sheet looks like, if you're curious what a one sheet is, one sheet has several terms. One sheet sometimes is like a poster, some kind of marketing thing for a new movie or a TV show. It's also what you write to kind of get people interested in maybe hearing your pitch for a TV show or a movie. So it usually consists of a title, a log line, which is kind of the whole premise summed up in 2 to 3 sentences, and then a few paragraphs about what the story is of the show. You don't give away a lot. It's almost like if you were just trying to get somebody excited to listen to it and hear the full detailed version later. So I wrote that out for Triple D 2. If you'd like to see it or an example of it, I'm more than happy to share it. Let us know, HollywoodHustlePodcast@gmail.com, or let us know on Twitter at LA Hustlecast. So those are my catch-ups. I don't have really much anything else, but I know Michael has a hustle takeaway and a hustle statement that he would like to share. So let's take it back to Michael so you can share those, and then we'll come back and I will offer mine. Michael, what do you got?
Hey guys, happy to be back with some of my hustle takeaways. The big takeaway I took from our chat with Brian is, at least for me, I have an anxiety when it comes to social media. I'm going to be really honest with you guys. I actually get stressed out at times when I'm trying to form a tweet or a post or something, and I think it came from this moment in my life down here in LA where I felt like people just didn't care about that, and that they didn't care about my journey, and it made me kind of realize, it's like, wait, who am I posting for? Am I trying to please other people, or should I just be myself, be my most authentic self? And I think as an actor here in LA, and I think just as artists in general, whenever we are our most authentic selves, people engage and connect with that more. So just listening to Brian talk about how the key to social media, in a way, what was interesting is that it is all about the nitty gritty. It is all about the hustle. It's about people being real. And that's really fascinating for me to think about and to accept. And I want to try that. I want to try and embrace the nitty gritty of social media and allow myself to be connected and to be honest with it, even in those moments when I don't feel like I have something to share that I think people would be interested in reading about. Throw that aside and just be me. Now, with all that, I'd like to also share with you guys my hustle support statement for the week. Hopefully, this will inspire you and also inspire me in the coming week. So here we go. Building a brand and social media presence takes time. So don't be upset if you don't have 50,000 followers right now. I think the key thing is to approach it from a sense of service. What are you interested in? What content can you create showcasing that passion? And then how can you package it with other people to make them excited about it? Shift your perspective from what can I post that will get the most likes to what's something that I love that I can share with my community? Delve into what you're passionate about. And I think that will not only help you and myself learn more about who you are, but it will help build a positive bridge between you and the social media world. This last point is one that I know I need to work on, so let's work on this together over the next few weeks. My brand used to be the nerdy best friend with a dark secret, but I don't really connect with that anymore. So who am I? What makes me tick? And what is it about me that people connect with? You know, I can't wait to share more of these questions and answers with you in the coming weeks. I'm going to be also poking Daniel to do this with me as well. So buddy, if you're down, please let me know. Cause I think it's fascinating. I think the idea of a brand, while it can sound harsh or something, I think it's actually interesting. And I'm really excited to connect with you guys, our listeners, our community. I'd love to hear from you guys in terms of what you see my brand as. You know, we can maybe have conversations on social media about it. I am at Michael Lutheran on Twitter and on Instagram. So feel free to reach out to me. Let's have a conversation about who we are. So yeah, man, you can tell I've been meditating and thinking about and thinking about this kind of stuff over the past week or so. So I'm rambling. Daniel, let's throw it back to you. Can't wait to hear what your hustle support statement is.
All right. Welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you, Michael, for that piece of inspiration and challenge, man. I'm going to try to do that. I'm going to try to relook at my personal brand from my personal podcast or personal Instagram and Twitter and kind of see what I can change to make it better. That's a great idea. It's awesome to see the self-discovery happening in you and this evolution. So that's really great. My hustle takeaway this week is really simple. It's don't settle yourself in one place all your life. It doesn't mean you have to move to other places, but make sure you get out of your town, get out of your city. You know, Brian talked about moving from, you know, LA to San Francisco to Vancouver and to Denver. And the experience of living in these different cities with these different cultures and different ways of life and different paces, I'm sure it just has a huge impact of educating you on the world. And then going outside of even America to England and Japan, like Kel, giving you this idea of the world is so much bigger than we think it is. And sometimes we can forget that if we stay in one spot. So my takeaway and my challenge for you is to get out of your bubble. Don't stay in one city all the time. Go take vacations out of your state. Go to small cities, big cities, medium-sized cities. Go to cities in the Midwest. Go to cities in the Far East and the Far West. Go all over the place and just
watch and look and take in different cultures and food and ways of and language and ways people talk, you know, from pop to soda to Coke to cola. You know, people have different words at different areas and regions for different things. So I challenge you to think about that. If you've always been in your hometown, you've not really gone anywhere, just go. If you have the money, just go. Ask somebody. Just call your friend and go, hey, do you want to go here? Because I just want to take a vacation. If you need someone to go with you. I did that with my now wife, my girlfriend. I told her, I've wanted to go back to New York forever. I'm just going to ask you, do you want to go to New York with me? Because I'm going. And I just made the decision to go. Same with Comic-Con. Just made the decision to go and figured it out. You save money. You figure out how to get there. You figure out what you're going to do so you can save more money for that. And just have a good time. Google and set the crap out of wherever you're going. But I challenge you, get out of your town for a little bit and just see what the rest of the world is like, not on a TV, but actually engaging with people and with those cities. I challenge you to do that. I think that's just going to be really great for you guys and for me. My hustle support statement for this week, and it connects, I think, to my hustle takeaway. Social media is great. And we're able to keep up with people 1,000 miles away, people that move away. You know, people that aren't close to home, people maybe that we lost touch with a long time ago, we can find and reconnect, and that's great. But one of the things I think social media has done is hindered our ability to talk to people in person. You say hi to someone now on a bus or at a grocery store, and 9 out of 10 times they're going to give you a funny look because it's weird and it's awkward. They don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. And you have to remember that this is how we used to communicate. We used to talk to people and start conversations in random places. And I feel like we've lost that. We've lost that personal connection with people. You stop calling your friends. You stop texting people because you know what's going on in their lives. You watch it every day on social media. Kurt Mega said a while back, I think on either on Twitter or on his podcast, that it's so weird that he sat down with lunch with a friend a while back, and there was nothing to catch up on because he knew everything that was going on because of social media. So, again, a challenge is get off social media. Turn it off sometimes. Go out there. Meet people face-to-face. Call someone. Don't just text them. Call and talk to them. We've lost this ability to talk on the phone. People are like, I don't like to talk on the phone. Why? What is it? Is you just don't like talking to people? You prefer reading and texting? And that's fine if that's true. But it's something about hearing someone's voice, hearing how they say things to you, hearing how they tell you they love you, they miss you, they tell a joke, they laugh, you know, they hear your stories, they react to your stories. It's so much different than just reading a bland text that does not deliver emotion without emojis. So talk to people, reconnect personally with people, go to game nights. If you're in LA, there's tons of creative meetups, and go to meetup.com in your area and find something where you can go based on a connected topic or connected subject and meet. I challenge you to do that. I love you guys. I know that you guys can do it. You guys are the best. And I mean, what else can I say than that, right? So just to let you know, we'd love to hear what you have to say about what we discussed today with Brian Peters. We're on Facebook, Hollywood Hustle Podcast. We're on Instagram, at Hollywood Hustle Podcast, and Twitter, at LA Hustlecast. And this is really exciting, guys. I am now one name on both Instagram and Twitter. That's right. You can now find me at Daniel Tuttle, T-U-T-T-E-L, on both Instagram and Twitter. It's an exciting day. Michael's the same way on both Instagram and Twitter. He is Michael Lutheran. And Brian Peters is also on Instagram at Brian G. Peters. On Twitter, he is Brian _G_Peters. You can also follow the company he works for, Buffer, at Buffer. You can find his podcast, The Science of Social Media, on iTunes. You can also go to buffer.com/podcast. I highly suggest you listen to his podcast. It is so, so good. If you have any social media tips yourself, or any questions for Brian that we didn't cover, Brian is so great about getting back to us. We've emailed and corresponded since this email, since this interview. If you have any questions for him or advice that you would like, send us an email at HollywoodHustlePodcast@gmail.com. We will forward it to Brian, and I promise you he will give us the best answer he can, or he will try to find it. He is so amazing. And if he doesn't know it, he'll tell us, and we'll share that with you. But usually he knows it. He's a pretty smart guy. If you enjoy what you're hearing, please make sure you like and tweet and follow and share with all of your friends. And again, you can hear Brian every week on the Science of Social Media. We also know that life can be sometimes busy. You book the job, you book the office job, you're storyboarding your day for social media, you're finishing that screenplay, or life just happens, but you don't want to get left behind with this podcast. That's where our Side Hustle episodes come in. Released every Monday, catch a preview of our upcoming episode for that week, highlighting some of the great conversations that we have with our guests in the full episodes. The Side Hustle is where you can keep connected when you may not be able to listen to our full episodes, so that you can still join the conversation on social media. The days may be changing on that. We're trying to find more space between the full episode and the Side Hustle to give you guys more time to listen to them, because right now, Monday to Tuesday, it's still rough. It's still like our old Tuesday and Thursday episodes. So we're looking at that, but right now they come out on Mondays. And then also do us a favor, share this, any other episodes with a friend and family that are looking for any inspiration to get back in their journey. If you want to give to the hustle, we have a donate button at the bottom of our website, so you can support us, monthly donation or just a one-time donation to support this, keep it going. We love you guys. It's not necessary, but we just want to put that out there. If you wanted to, we hope you do, because this just helps us build higher and higher in the brand and more seasons to come. So we're super excited. As you heard during the interview, make sure you go to our website and take our survey. We're still doing the survey contest through July 4th or 5th. We're still figuring that out. And then coming up next week, finally, next week, we continue our evaluation and journey at looking at the perspective of the hustle and this life from different ages. Last year, we had Izzy Coffey on, an 8-year-old who was in the blockbuster hit Split, directed by M. Night Shyamalan. We talked to her about her trip to Hollywood and how she's taken in going to auditions and how she handles it, and talked to her mom about how she handles it. We continue this tradition with our 12-year-old Gigi Cesare. Gigi is best known for her movies Street. She also has Street 2 coming out soon. They're in pre-production for that. And then she's also known for The Kids from Planet 62F. She also recently just won another award for her role in Street with the Young Entertainers of America Award. So we're super excited to have her on. We talk about her music career, living in L.A., moving to Las Vegas, how she dealt with bullying, how she deals with on-set things and auditions, and when she doesn't get the part. We go through all of it. So please do not miss this fantastic interview with just the amazing and talented Gigi Cesare. We're super excited about it. If you have any questions that you want us to ask, again, Brian, please make sure you email us, HollywoodHustlePodcast@gmail.com. Guys, have a great week. We love you. We support you. We're there for you whenever you need us, whether through an episode or through email or social media. You're the best. And always remember to keep up the hustle.
I wonder, do you have, maybe have to change the setting on the computer?
Wait a second.
What did you do, Brian? Wait,
can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was on mute, my microphone.
Oh, that's the thing about the Yeti, is that if you don't unclick that button in the center or whatever, yeah, it just like mutes.
This button.
Yeah.
It automatically starts off as mute.
What's great is we've been recording this whole time, so we have that on record.
Perfect. Perfect. Yes, it's on mute. Note to all those podcasters out there, unmute your microphone.
That's going to be our intro quote.
That's pretty quick.
That's going to be the intro quote.
I love that.
This episode was brought to you by Team Hustle. Daniel Tuttle is our executive producer. Michael Lutheran produced today's episode. Gordon Meacham is our episode analyst. And Mike Tobias edited our website. For more information, you can always visit our website, www.hollywoodhustlepodcast.com.